privilege. It's a privilege for us to pray. It's not a right. We don't have to. They don't have to let us do it. It's a privilege. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to that today. Verse 16, rejoice always. Let me say that again. Rejoice always. Say it with me. Rejoice always. Now, how many of you aren't rejoicing today? Aren't rejoicing. It's a command. We're told to do it. Pray without ceasing. What do you do in your life? At all times, no matter what, without ceasing. You don't even have to think about it. Breathe. Anybody in here not breathing? Anybody in here not praying? Pray without ceasing. Prayer should be just like breathing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Give thanks. Every single week I stand up here and I ask for praises and prayers. Guess what list is always longer? Prayers. Praise God. Romans 5, chapter 18. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here we are, sinners. Can't do anything right, it seems like, at times. But yet Christ still died for us. He still allowed himself to get on the cross for us. Be joyful always. I want you to put your life in context of others. Anybody seen the pictures of people falling off the planes in Afghanistan? Anybody see the father in Tennessee who had his children in her arms and got swept away and couldn't hold on, the children died? Consider it all joy. Give thanks. Praise God where we're at today. Pray continually. Unfortunately, so many times, where does prayer come into our list of things we do? Last. We go along life, we're doing great, and then we notice things are starting to happen. But it's not until we're at the lowest of lows do we actually start praying and ask for God to get us out of that low. Whereas if we would have been praying the whole time, we may not even have been in that low. I know this because I've been there. Give thanks in all circumstances. Think about this. Get a flat tire on your car. How irritated are you? We're in Vermont. There's 12 inches of snow on the road. It's blowing. It's negative 20. And you get a flat tire. What do you have to do? Remember, we're in Vermont. You can't just pick up, hello, can you come help me? No, you're in Vermont. We have changed it ourselves. You get that tire changed, it sets you back an hour. Because remember, it's negative 20 and your fingers are about to fall off. But you get 30 minutes down the road and there's a fatal wreck. Be thankful that tire was flat because God saved you from that. Everything in our life happens for a reason. Everything. Throughout Scripture, I have a concordance, it's Strong's Concordance, and it lists all of the prayer, just pray, P-R-A-Y. And I counted them. Now, my math isn't the greatest, so this is give or take. 313 times the word pray is in Scripture. That's not prayers, that's not praying, just pray. Do you think it's important? Do you think it's important that we do it? We're to talk to Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. I love this verse. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I love that verse. I'll never forget when I first became a believer, I'm sitting in a church and this pastor gets up there and he's praying all these words. I don't even know what he's saying. I don't understand. The guy next to me, he's like, oh, man, that guy really knows how to pray. You know how that made me feel? He's saying words that I don't even know what they are. And he's, oh, he knows how to pray. Guess what? It doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit cleans it up for us. It does not matter what we say. It does not matter what words we say. It doesn't matter if we use the wrong there or where. It doesn't matter. Amen. Amen. Tori showed me a coffee mug the other day that had all of the theirs in one word. And then it says, take that, you grammar Nazis. And I'm like, I need that mug. But the Holy Spirit doesn't care. The Holy Spirit doesn't care if you're speaking as an infant or as a 95-year-old. Doesn't care what culture you're from or what background you have or what your past is. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Hope sustains us and helps the believer through the present time of suffering. In the same way, the Spirit helps and sustains the believer in weakness, specifically through the ministry of prayer. When we are weak and confused about the purposes of God and our sufferings or our confusion, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with words we cannot express ourselves. You ever been to a point where you just don't even know what to say? Guess who does? The Holy Spirit knows our heart. He knows what's on our heart. I have worked with men my entire ministry. And I pray for them and I ask them and I encourage them to pray with their families. I encourage them to pray with me, just starting out with a meal. And they can't do it. You know why they say they can't? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. But yet they are some of the biggest talkers you will ever meet in your entire life. Just talk. Just pray. It doesn't have to be special. It doesn't have to be pretty. When I do devotions, read with Alex and Roxy at night, and I'm blaming Miss Judy for it, but it used to take like 15 minutes to read like a whole chapter in Proverbs. Now it takes like a half an hour, 45 minutes. I'm not kidding you. Every third or fourth word, Roxy's like, what's that mean? What's that mean? It's doing two things. One, she and Alex are learning it. But then some of them are like, I'm not real sure what that word means. Hold on, let me look it up. But we don't have to use those words because the Holy Spirit's there for us. Sometimes we just can't express things on our own. Sometimes it's better for us to bite our tongue and not say anything. Amen? I need to learn that a little bit more. I've stuck my foot in my mouth I don't know how many times. The other day I was leaving Walmart. I went into Walmart and they asked me to wear a mask. Would you like a mask? No. Good. So when I left, she said, be safe even though you choose not to wear a mask. I bit my tongue. It almost bled. However, I should have had sunglasses on because my eyes probably spoke for me. But at times, just pray. Just don't say anything. It doesn't have to be said. Matthew 26:41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now let me give you some context of this. Jesus is returning to the disciples, found them sleeping. What do you think he was thinking about that time? He's like, you know what, just stay watch. And he came back, and they were sleeping. Of course, he knew it was coming. But he rebuked Peter on behalf of the others, using plural verbs throughout verses 40 and 41. His questions didn't really need to have an answer. Could you men not keep watch for 1 hour? Now this correlates into our own lives. How many of us go to the Lord in prayer and ask, and 3 minutes later, we're doing it all over again? It could be something simple as, Lord, help me not speed. And then we get behind a car. And in Vermont, you can pass on a double yellow line. There's nobody around. Speed limit's 55. We're going 54. What do you do? What? Floor it. Yep. And then we floor it, and a moose jumps out in front of us. I know. But in this illustration, they do. All right, a turkey flies out in front of you. How's that, Katie? All right. But you swerve and you miss it. Oh, Lord, I'll never speed again. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. 10 miles down the road, same thing happens. You get behind a car. They're going 53 this time. What do? You pass them anyways. So was it truthful? Did you mean it? Were you on guard? Probably not. The disciples sleeping showed that they were unaware of the spiritual danger and that their guard was down. How many of us are unaware of the spiritual danger and let our guard down? We cannot let our guard down as believers in this world. We couldn't do it 10 years ago, and we can't do it now. The world just keeps changing. How many times have people said, well, you know, it's not going to happen to us. We're up here in the small section of the NAK. Nobody bothers us here. Who wants to come here? A lot of people. Over the last 3 weeks, I've met at least 6 people that have moved here to escape what else is going on. Well, what's going to happen after a while? Praise the Lord, they're coming in. I'm not one of those people, because I'm a transplant too. But are we on guard? Are we on guard for what our kids are going to face? You know, school just started back up. Do we know what they're going to have to endure? Are we talking to our kids every single night to combat what they were taught at school? Are we praying with them to intercede for what they're learning? This time when Jesus commanded them to watch and pray, he was referring to more than just staying awake physically. We have to be wide awake spiritually. And that is something Red Bull cannot help with. Or Monsters. Or Mountain Dew. We have to be on guard spiritually. How are we on guard spiritually? Reading his word, memorizing it in our heart, and talking to God without ceasing. How many of you have to drive a long distance to work? By yourselves. Do you all have XM radio? Okay, we got one. So you lose service like every 5 miles. Radio. What a perfect time to pray to God. And the further you are away, what a blessing. Because you get to have more time with God. I know you're thinking, no, not a blessing. Remember, always give thanks. They were on the verge of entering into temptation to deny and abandon him, and they needed God to help them stand fast. Have you ever denied God? Be honest with yourselves. Have you denied God? Has he called you to do something, but you didn't do it? Has he prompted you to talk to someone, but you haven't? Has he told you something was going on in your life, but you just let it go? Always be on spiritual guard. In your bulletins, you have a blank sheet of paper. That's on purpose. That was not a printer error. I called Pastor Scott or messaged him, whatever it was. I don't remember, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was in my office studying, and I said, can I speak Sunday? Of course, he loves teaching and loves speaking, so he's like, let me think about it for a while. And then he goes, well, what do you want to speak on? I'm like, well, prayer. Can I call you? Sure, I'll call you. So I talked to him. Okay, let me think about it. So he called me back, and I said, okay, let me tell you exactly what I want to do and how the Lord has been working in my heart over the last few weeks. We're all in a spiritual battle. Some of us more than others. Whether you want to admit it or not, We're in a spiritual battle. And if you are a strong, true believer, it's going to get worse. And I stand up here every single week and I take praise and prayer requests. And I read everybody's face. Just so you all know, I can read your faces very, very well. I could tell you what kind of a day you're having by what's on your face. And how you act and how you sit in your chair. That's just my thing. That's why I like being up front. I could tell if somebody gets upset with something I say, or they're like, oh my word, just stop talking. Or if they're like, I'm here because I have to be, because I don't want anybody else to ask me why I'm not here. So I told him, I said, we need to focus on prayer. We need to not worry about the discipleship this week. We need to not worry about small groups this week. We need to worry about praying for our family. And so the blank sheet of paper is for your prayers. We encourage you to write your praise and your prayer, Lord willing, they're equal. They're not tipping the scales on either one of them. Because here in a minute, Pastor Scott's going to come up and he's going to ask you for different prayers and praises. It is my goal, and it's always been my struggle, and being in ministry now for all these years, I understand. But when I first became a believer, I just couldn't understand why some people said, you know, I don't want to mention my prayer in front of other people. I just didn't understand that. Why? We're all believers. Amen? But we're also sinners. And we're not always standing on guard. And sometimes prayer requests get mentioned just to gossip. Let's not do that today. Let's praise God. Let's ask for true prayer. And pray. Because our people are hurting. Whether you guys like it or not, our people are hurting. Some put on a very brave face. But I know Pastor Scott and Scott Rafferty, we know. And we come in and we see the smiles, and it just crushes us to know. So today, I'm going to ask Pastor Scott to come on up here. Let's start a culture of being joyful, but not faking it. Start a culture of praying continually, but being meaningful with it. And start a culture of giving thanks in all circumstances, but not embellishing it. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. Yeah, midweek, Pastor Brian called I think he messaged me. Can I preach this Sunday, please? I said, well, what do you want to speak on? Prayer. Okay, well, let's talk about that. And it's been, I've been sensing we need prayer. I know I need prayer. And I know I need to be praying right now with some of the spiritual battles that are going on. And when I saw what happened in Afghanistan, it just tore my heart out. And you know, evil has been unleashed in a major way. And Lord, and I really feel for the Christians and the pastors in that nation right now, because their lives are literally in jeopardy. And you know, and our brethren in Afghanistan need our prayers. And it just kind of wakes us up to the, you know, pray for the persecuted. We have it on the wall over here. But all that red area on that map are the most severely persecuted in the world today. And we have the luxury of meeting here freely in a church where we can worship in freedom without, as of today, without fear of the authorities coming in and arresting us, or worse, for our Christian faith. Okay. So, anyway, right now I'm feeling pressure in a lot of ways with just family things. I know you've been praying for my mother, and she's on hospice care right now. She's with my sisters down in Florida. All four of my sisters are with her right now, praise God, and caring for her, and I talked to Mom yesterday on the phone, and she didn't respond, but Kathy held the phone up to her ear so I could talk with her and read scripture to her and pray with her. So I've been praying for my mom and my sisters, and then every one of my daughters have something they're facing right now, and I've appreciated the prayers that you've sent up for them as well. So and then I know there's a number of severe conflicts or spiritual battles raging within our church family, and you are dear folk to me. And as shepherds, we are very concerned for our flock, the flock, really your Christ's flock, and we are mere under shepherds of the great shepherd Jesus Christ. But so we're very much concerned. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture. If you'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read a couple of verses. And then we're going to share some praises that you might have in your heart today. And then we're going to share prayer requests. And as prayer requests are being shared, I'm going to ask for if there's a volunteer that would just stand where you are and pray for that request. We'll do that. But we're going to keep listing requests. And if there's no one else that wants to volunteer to pray publicly out loud, that's okay. What we're going to do is compile the list, and then we'll go to silent prayer, and I'll name the request, and you pray silently for it for about 30 seconds or whatever or seems right. And I'll just keep going through the requests until everything is covered. And we pray together corporately like that. And when I'm through the list, then I will pray to kind of close it out. And then we've got one more song that we're going to sing at the end of the service today. Okay? So first of all, let me just take us to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul the Apostle writes to Timothy. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." Don't we long for that tranquil, quiet life where we can live our Christian life with dignity, you know? Well, let's praise God we can do that here, but let's pray for it in our nation, but let's pray for it in these other persecuted areas of the world. And then look down at verse 8, one more verse. "Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." And Paul specifically calls on the men to be leaders in prayer within the body of Christ. So let's start with some praises today. Do you have a praise that you would like to share with our church family here this morning? Mark, yes. Mark, I appreciate your ministry. Mark stands out on Main Street with a sign calling people to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus. Yeah. I praise the Lord, Mark, that you found out now, and that we have found out now, right? So praise God. Right. Okay, I see your hand. Praise God for Jenna. It's your birthday today. You know what that means? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Praise God. All right. Denise. Okay. So Elizabeth has settled back in. All right. That's a neat praise, yeah. Okay, very good. All right, Anna? Pray for Mom today. Grammy. Grammy Dawn to Anna. Ken? Okay. Wow. Jesus, take the wheel. Kind of thing. All right. Sandy. Very good. Yeah. So, Lord, every Sunday this year, just keep the roads clear. All right, someone else? Joan? Okay. All right. Lindsay, we have a newcomer here today. Can we meet Matthew? Can you stand up and let us see Matthew? Who's now? How old? What? 2 weeks. Pray. That's a big praise right there. Yes. Yes, Lindsay. Lord, mommy and baby are here and doing well. Okay, that's a good praise. Someone else praises. Scott. Can't prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against them. Yeah. Right. You know, when it's darkest, that's when the light shines the brightest, too. So. Thank you, Scott, for that. God will bring good out of these tragic world events. Monica?
Thank you.
praise the Lord for that. Yeah, okay. Need his prayer. Okay. All right. Oh, Gail? Yes. Okay. Praise God for the kids. Yep. All right. Well, why don't we, okay, we'll take one more, then I'm going to go to prayer requests. Anita? Okay. Well, we can pray for that. So by the way, that's a pretty good praise list right there. And that's just right. We're just scratching the surface with praises. I understand. But what are some prayer requests? And we'll take a few, and then I'll see if any of the men would like to stand, because I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. And men, I'll give you an opportunity. If there's something that you hear and you would like to stand and pray for that in the congregation, I'll give you an opportunity to do that. But let's hear some prayer requests, and let me share a few that I have that you may not be aware of yet. I learned this morning that David Prue passed away. Now, I don't know if you remember Terry and Roxana Prue. Well, this is Terry's brother, okay, or Fred Prue's son who passed away. Also, I learned this morning that Rosaire Marcoux passed away. And we know Rosaire. He's come here for quite a few things. In fact, he visited just a couple weeks ago, I think. He was with us. So the